This is the EWN Radio Network.
Now, everybody does that to a certain extent, but for a highly sensitive people, it really, they pick up so much more. They pick up everything. And so it can very easily overwhelm their nervous system.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And, oh, my goodness, it's my pleasure to be with you here again this weekend. Oh, my goodness, I've been just having so much fun. I'm back in the Pacific Northwest where, you know, there's a lot of sunshine and all of that, and enjoying myself. And I'm here today with Linda Binns. She's also here in the Pacific Northwest. So before the show, we were chatting about, it's so nice to be in the Pacific Northwest in the spring, late spring. But Linda was on with us a little while ago, and we were talking about highly sensitive people. And it's such a fascinating topic because I found a lot of people that have an autoimmune are also what we call highly sensitive people. So I invited Linda back on because that was a really popular show. So let me introduce Linda. Linda Binns is a breakthrough energy expert. She helps overwhelmed, overworked, and stressed professionals and business owners get out of their own way so they can create the life experiences they want and enjoy the process. She shows people how to get from stuck to unstoppable. She is the author of 7 books on energy and appears monthly on the AM Northwest television show in Portland, Oregon as their resident energy expert. She's our resident energy expert as well. And she has a bachelor's degree in holistic nutrition, a diploma in nutritional medicine, I'll mispronounce this, Linda, iridology, aromatherapy, and kinesiology. And she's a Reiki master, a native of England. She has over 18 years of experience coaching and consulting entrepreneurs and professionals, helping them to achieve maximum success and fulfillment in their business and life. And she's also an expert in helping us understand our energy and how it affects highly sensitive people. So welcome back, Linda. It's so good to see you again.
It's great to be back, Sharon.
First, if people haven't caught the original one that we talked about, highly sensitive people, share with us your definition of what is a highly sensitive person.
Well, I think of it this way. It's like we're a walking antenna and we are picking up signals and information from everybody and everything, every environment. Now, everybody does that to a certain extent, but for a highly sensitive people, it really, they pick up so much more. They pick up everything. And so it can very easily overwhelm the nervous system. It's very easy for highly sensitive people. What it means is that our nervous systems are so highly tuned that we easily get bombarded with things. And it's very easy for us to get overwhelmed, overstimulated, and that can cause problems, particularly health problems.
I don't think a lot of people will realize that until you started to explain that. When I started to understand highly sensitive people, a lot of things started to make sense. Why that when even in a particular city or something, I just get overwhelmed in certain places. It doesn't have to be in like closed knit places where people are touching me or anything. It can be just even in a city or a particular location. It can just have what I call, the wrong energy. I just get overwhelmed and begin to just feel myself shutting down when I'm in those places. And so when I first heard you describe about highly sensitive people, I was like, oh yeah, that I can relate to a lot of that. If somebody's out there going, I can really relate to that, and what are some things that they should be on the lookout for? I mean, I'm always on the lookout for one thing that I call energy vampires, but
definitely one thing.
Yeah. I also want to talk about putting our shields up without blocking people out too. So what are some of the couple of things that we should be on the lookout for, and then how do we protect from those things that we are on the lookout for?
Okay, well, first of all, I just remembered the term. It's called sensory processing sensitivity. That's what I was trying to remember.
Okay,
that's a scientific term for it. And then it was Elaine Aron who wrote the book, The Highly Sensitive Person. She coined the phrase highly sensitive person instead of saying that. So that's what it is. But yeah, some of the things to be on the lookout for, it's because we have such a different energy, It can affect us in different ways, and it can affect other people in different ways. So highly sensitive people typically find that they are very misunderstood. They try to fit in. They try to be like other people, perhaps maybe to like the same things or to go to the same places. But it just affects them in such a different way. And so they find they have to withdraw, perhaps, or shut down. That's particularly true for the introverted, highly sensitive people. Now, the extroverted, highly sensitive people will actually thrive in an environment where there's a lot of people, but they also will need a lot of quiet time to kind of recover from that. So some of the things to look out for are how you feel when you are around a lot of people, for example, how that affects you. Some people pick up very easily on the energy of other people. And you can imagine if you're in a room full of people, how overwhelming that can be. You're picking up anger from here and sadness from there. And, you know, somebody is overwhelmed over there and you're picking all of that up. It's like you're like a sponge taking all of that in. So you have to be very aware of that and to know when that happens to you and what you need to do to take care of yourself and your energy before and after a situation like that. So if I know I'm going somewhere where there's a lot of people, I'll have to prepare myself energetically before I go. And then certainly I'm going to need to do something for myself when I get back to sort of reground myself. Energy vampires, that's a very common thing because we have this different energy. Very often people will try to manipulate that. They'll either try to feed off it, so taking our energy, that's the energy vampire, or we are great candidates for people to push their energy onto us, their dramas, their stuff, because we have this ability to take it on. So you have to learn to be very aware of that and to know how not to take it on. And really the way not to take it on is simply to recognize that it's happening. Right, to recognize this is what this person is doing to me, and I'm choosing to not let that happen.
So I think that comes with practice too. I think because when I first started hearing about this concept of not take it on and feel it, I was like, But I found that the way I knew I was getting better is that the time between recognizing it and doing something about it got closer and closer.
That's exactly right, because first of all, you'll start to notice, well, I was with this person and now I feel terrible and what happened to me? And mostly you'll think it's you. You'll think it's your stuff. What, you know, where is this coming from? So the first step is whether you can learn to recognize that actually this isn't me. I've taken on somebody else's stuff. And then you have an awareness of it and you can decide, I don't want that to happen again. And so, like you said, the next time it starts to happen, you might notice it in the moment, or you might notice it sooner afterwards. And like you said, it gets closer and closer and closer until you can start to recognize it immediately and say, not happening.
Exactly. But as we're taking on this energy, and maybe, I won't say maybe, we've done it since childhood, unaware most likely, but we've done it for a long time. You talk a lot about it can affect your medical care. It can affect your health and well-being. by taking all of this on and then not really knowing what to do with it once you have it. I kind of imagine it as a great big garbage heap and you just don't know where to start.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that first of all, I think everybody needs to be responsible for their own health care, but highly sensitive people more than anybody else. And in preparation for this call, I just took a quick look again at the book that Elaine Aron wrote, The Highly Sensitive Person. And in there, she talks about highly sensitive people and medical care. So I just want to quickly read some of the things that she says that are the ways your trait affects your medical care. Number one, you're more sensitive to bodily signs and symptoms. So we feel things more. If you don't lead a life that is suited to your trait, you will develop more stress-related and or psychosomatic illnesses. You're more sensitive to medications. You're more sensitive to pain. You'll be more aroused, usually over-aroused, by medical environments, procedures, examinations, and treatments. In healthcare environments, your deep intuition cannot ignore the shadowy presence of suffering and death, the human condition. And finally, given all of the above and the fact that most mainstream medical professionals are not HSPs or highly sensitive people, your relationships with them are usually more problematic.
checked all of those.
Right, exactly. So you can see that. Well, you know, and part of it is that we expect and wonder why people don't understand us. We expect people to know what's going on, so especially if you go to a physician, for example. But you have to keep in mind that they may not have come across anybody like us before, right? Or if they have, they don't really know what to do with it. So what I have learned is that I have to know, I have to take all the information in from physicians, from wherever I can learn information about whatever it is happening to me. And then I need to go to the doctor and be able to say, okay, this is what I think is happening. This is what I think I need. And direct it more. Now, the challenge with that comes that not too many doctors like you to do that, right? You then become a problem patient. You're labeled as a problem patient. The thing is, if you don't do it...
Well, they have these labels now that I forget what it's called, but they even have a label. There's the NCP, which is the non-compliant patient. And then there's another label. I'm trying to remember what it is. But the definition is the patient who Googles themselves too much. And that really discounts us who know our body. I'm one of those that when I go to the chiropractor and they're, I don't know, moving my shoulder, I could say, oh, I feel that in my left hip. And they go, oh, well, that makes perfect sense because that bone is connected, you know, that's all connected. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, unless they're aware of that kind of thing, they'll look at you and like, well, no, you're not feeling that in your left hip. Yeah, I am.
I know. I've had doctors tell me, you know, what you eat doesn't affect your health. I've had doctors tell me.
I had them tell me too.
No, you can't be feeling that because, you know, that's not right. Don't tell me what I'm feeling. What I'm not feeling. I know what I'm feeling. So it's important to find, I think, practitioners who at least are willing to have the conversation with you and acknowledge that you know more about your body than they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness, we got to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. How do we have a conversation when, I mean, that's a tough one to have with what I call people in white coat authority. So we'll be back and we'll talk about that and more things that we can do as highly sensitive people to take charge of our own medical care. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Welcome back to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here today with Linda Binns. She's a breakthrough energy expert, and she is talking today about highly sensitive people and how we manage our energy, and how if we're not aware that we're highly sensitive or don't know what to do, maybe we know we're highly sensitive, but we're overwhelmed, don't know what to do, how that can affect our medical condition and the medical care we receive. And when we had to take that quick commercial break, we were talking to Linda about, okay, so we have finally become aware that that's us. That was a fabulous list. I have to say, I was checking off every one of those, unfortunately, experienced them all. But we came to that part of, okay, now we have to have a conversation and make sure that people, care providers, or actually other people, are aware that it's just different. It's not woo-woo. It's not. It's just who we are, how we're wired, and it's just everybody's different. Sometimes it's hard to get that conversation out, though.
It is. But first of all, I think what I have learned is that you have to own it, because I used to see it as a real problem. And, you know, sometimes it certainly can be, but I would say things like, I wish there was just an easy solution. Why is everything, when I go to sort something out, it's always so complicated and nobody knows, and I'm just looking for somebody who has answers, right? And that's what we want, someone who can tell us, this is what it is, just do this and you'll be okay. But it doesn't work like that, especially not for highly sensitive people. And so you have to get to a point, I think, of accepting that. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with me, so I have to be fixed. And I used to think that for years. It's like, there's something wrong. I need to fix me. And so I need to figure out what's wrong. It's not what's wrong. It's just that we are more highly attuned than the majority of people. And this applies to 20% of the population, by the way. That's the estimate from Elaine Aron.
Wow, that's bigger than I would have thought. 20%.
Right.
Wow. 1 in 5.
I actually think it's growing, because you see a lot more children coming in now with extreme sensitivities, like extreme food sensitivities and things like that. So I think that number perhaps is growing, which is a good thing, because the more of us there are, the more this is coming into the mainstream, if you like, or more it's starting to be understood. But the first thing is, we have to own it and recognize that it's not something that's wrong with me. This is part of who I am. And so once we feel comfortable owning it, then it makes it easier when you're talking to somebody else. You can say, okay, this is what I have learned about myself. This is what happens. This is what I know happens with me. And so what I need is, and then you have to be able to articulate that to whatever practitioner you're seeing. And what I have discovered is, now I know there are some doctors who have a particular arrogance who won't embrace a conversation like that. But if you find the right practitioners, usually they find that's helpful, because now they have a better context to be able to help you. You know, you're helping them to understand you.
I agree. And not wanting to overwhelm them and end up in the hypochondriac label. it's always been a rather careful conversation to consider how open they are to the idea of highly sensitive people, or yourself being very aware of where your body is in space and time and how your body is feeling. And I always like to say there are people on the whole spectrum, where there are some people that don't know how they're feeling at all. I mean, completely emotionally unavailable, energetically unavailable. They don't know how to tap into any of those systems. And then there are others on the spectrum that are born that way, and I'll say are also unaware, because they are born that way. So they're like, everybody's not like this. And it's about bringing ourselves to that conscious competence place to where we're able to say, okay, everybody's not born like this. And what are my differences? So how can I articulate them? And I know from our times together with highly sensitive people, it's not just one way. You could be any of those things on the list plus other things. And still fall into the realm of highly sensitive person, correct?
Correct, yes. Well, and I think part of the challenge for us as highly sensitive people is many of us have grown up being told there's something wrong with us. So you're here, well, you're just too sensitive, get over it, you know, things like that. And so you do grow up believing that there is something wrong with you. That's why I thought there was something wrong with me, you know, because other people, once I found out other people did not feel the same way I did, well, clearly it must be something wrong with me, which is why when I read the book, The Highly Sensitive Person, it was an epiphany. It's like, oh my gosh, this explains everything. This explains how I feel. It explains everything I've been through all my life and how I've chosen the path I've chosen. It made sense of everything, really. So when you've been brought up hearing that there's something wrong with you or you're too sensitive, then you need to recognize that that only happens because you didn't fit in, you weren't like everybody else, and people are afraid of that and they don't know what to do with it. So that's why it's our job to find out as much as we can about ourselves and our particular sensitivities, because everyone's different, and then own it, and then be able to articulate and help other people understand that.
Right, right. When you say own it, though, go a little deeper into your exploration of how you began to own your own uniqueness. Because I think oftentimes it's still so foreign to some people that they're looking for outside, like, oh, it's like that. Or, you know, another label to go, oh, it's like that. And So can you describe to us maybe a couple of other people that you've met that you, or things that you could say help us understand? If we were to see it, we would know it.
It's so individual. I think it's a case of, once you recognize something about yourself, so for example, I'm, like many people, very sensitive to certain smells, chemical smells, perfume smells, smoke. Can't stand the smell of smoke. And it's not just an I don't like it smell, you know, feeling. It makes me feel ill. I feel it in my throat. It's a whole body experience. Same with certain noises. There are certain noises I can't tolerate. Gardening equipment being one of the, you know, leaf blowers and things like that. Those noises that just go on and on and on at that certain frequency. And again, it's not just an irritation. It's a whole body thing. It's like I feel my body vibrating and I need to get away from it. So recognizing that. Now, not every highly sensitive person is sensitive to those things. I happen to be. I have a friend who is highly sensitive, but she's an extrovert and she's highly sensitive and she is extremely good at sales. And one of the things that makes her so good at sales is her highly attuned intuition. And she can tell things about people just from meeting them right away. It's really an amazing skill. And I know another person who, She's great when companies are interviewing people. She has this ability to know immediately this person's going to work out, this person isn't going to work out. And she's had that proved over and over again when they hired someone and she's thinking this person is not going to work out. Within a couple of weeks, that person's gone, you know. So it's like I say, not every person, highly sensitive person, has those traits, but they are unique to each individual. And so you learn what are your unique traits. And then
I like to look at them. What are my superpowers? Because I too have a highly sensitive nose. Uh-huh. And there are certain things that I really just shudder at the smell of. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes I smell things way before anybody else does.
Yes.
And they're like, what are you talking about? And sometimes that's a good thing. You know, I've smelled like hot electrical wires and right before the a plug started to smolder, you know. But it was probably an hour or so before that I'm like, It's just my nose is picking up on this stuff. Probably my other spidey senses too. But I like to look at those things as my superpowers. And I find that highly sensitive people have a fair share of these superpowers.
I love that way of looking at it. I'm going to use that from now on. Great way to describe it. And it gets away from that concept that there's something wrong. Because these really are superpowers. They are valuable. They're incredibly valuable. And so when I say own it, it's a case of you recognizing, oh, this is one of my superpowers. I smell things way before anybody else does. And being okay with that, being comfortable with that, and not being afraid to say that to somebody. You know, so if you say, well, I'm smelling something burning, and they're saying, well, no, I can't smell anything. You can own it enough to say, well, you know, I really do have this very highly developed sense of smell, and I typically smell things way before they actually happen. So I think we should look into this, perhaps. You know, that's owning it. And feeling comfortable enough with it to be able to say something to somebody.
Right. And I think it's about training people as well. I mean, maybe training's the wrong word, but for me, it's also about, I was thinking of my primary care physician, and we've been together over 2 decades. And now he's just like, anybody but you, Sharon. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You tell me that, I totally trust it now after all this time together. As you said, the gal who could be in an interview and know immediately if it was or wasn't going to work out, once you have medical professional people that are open, and then it's proven to them time and time again, like, no, that's not right, or intuitively that's too high a dosage, or whatever it is, and they'll be willing to have that conversation with you, I think is the important thing, their willingness to go, well, that's just her.
Right. But it is worth putting the effort into finding someone like that, because
absolutely,
they are perhaps more rare than we would like. But you know, typically if I go to a physician, I'm telling them, okay, here's what I need.
Well, one thing I'm hopeful about is that functional medicine is now a new terminology or a new genre of medicine. And I find that they are a little more open to people's uniqueness, that we all are not cut from the same cloth, and, you know, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning doesn't work for everybody. And I'm finding that quite hopeful.
Yes, I agree with you. I think I was fairly recently introduced to functional medicine, and I think you're absolutely right. It does feel more individualized.
And understanding that we're each wired differently, for sure. Well, we need to take another quick commercial break. When Linda and I get together, I know we go all these rabbit holes, but we always have fun. So we need to take another quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk to Linda about, I'm not going to use the right words, but how we shield ourselves to, you know, because I think a lot of times that this is just the science of Sharon, but I know that when I get stressed or I get bombarded by energy, I begin to start to have little bits of flares of my autoimmune condition. And so I know when I can control that external forces, that I can be thriving much more than if I'm all of a sudden unable to kind of keep those external forces at bay. So we'll talk to Linda about some of her tips on how to separate what's ours and what's the outer world's. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And we're talking to Linda Binns, and she's a breakthrough energy expert who helps stressed professionals and business owners go from stuck to unstoppable. And we've been talking about highly sensitive people and their unique traits when it comes to medical care. And when we had to take that quick commercial break, I wanted to talk to Linda in this time period about, well, I'm just going to say shielding myself. That's probably not the right word, but keeping it separated, what's mine's mine and what's out there is out there.
I think that's a good word. And again, this is going to be unique to everybody. So it's like self-awareness is so key here. The more you know about yourself, the more you know what it is that you need. And the more you have the ability then to be able to tell when something's not right. So I'm with this person or this group of people, and now something's off. I'm feeling that something's off. And so it's probably coming from someone here because I didn't have this when I came here. So you've really got to put the effort into understanding yourself and feeling your body, allowing yourself to know what feels right for you and what doesn't. That's going to help you know when something's off, when you need shielding, when you need protection, and to put that in place sooner rather than later so that you can protect yourself before something happens rather than having to deal with it after something has happened.
How do we put something in place? That might be foreign to people. You and I have talked and I've worked with other energy experts to know, but it might be foreign to some people about, what do you mean? You know, shield yourself, Sharon. When you say that, that's kind of, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's not like Wonder Woman with the big, the big thing. You know, maybe metaphorically it is, well, I suppose.
Right.
We just can't pull that out.
There are many, many ways we can do this. And depending on the situation, I'll share some of the ways I do it. So, for example, if there is somebody I know that I'm going to be interacting with who is an energy vampire or who has a tendency to try to put their drama onto me, before I go to meet with this person or speak with this person, I will simply set an intention that I will not allow myself, my energy, to be manipulated in any way by this person. And in that instance, that can be enough, just setting that intention, because then when I'm interacting with this person, my energy, because I've set the intention, is such that they can feel that. It's like they're not getting any payback, you know. They might be trying to put something onto me, but it is like there's a shield in place, you know. Or they might be trying to take some energy from me, but they're not able to do it. Simply setting the intention can.
But you know what I love about that is it's when I'm doing that, and I find it so funny as certain people will say to me, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you feeling okay? You know,
right.
It's like, I'm fine. It's because they're not getting the previous reward
right.
that they used to get. And I always find that's a good measure of when they start kind of just gently inquiring about my current condition.
That's right. Well, the other thing you might notice is if somebody particularly is used to either feeding off your energy or putting their kind of negative energy onto you, and you're not allowing that, you set that intention beforehand, sometimes what can happen is they're just left with their own energy and they can kind of implode, you know, because it's got nowhere to go and they've got nothing good to feed them. And so they kind of can go a little crazy on themselves. And you have to be okay with that too. I've seen that happen, and I know you know me, so I play tennis, and a lot of my experiences and learnings come from playing tennis. And so I encounter this quite a bit on the tennis court. If somebody is losing and they happen to be the kind of person who usually feels better by taking someone else's energy or projecting their frustration onto you, if I know that ahead of time and I've set the intention and I won't play that game, they do implode. That you can kind of see, almost see steam coming out of their ears. And, you know, they can get very upset. But again, I just stay grounded and I know that's nothing to do with me. And they're just at the end, they'll just walk away because they don't know what to do with it. They're so used to being able to manipulate. But that's if you recognize it. That's if you know this is what this person does and I'm not going to allow it. But if I'm going, for example, to a networking event, say, or a conference or something like that, where there are a lot of people I don't know, well, again, you know, I can set an intention of what I want for my energy for that event. I can set the intention that I choose to not allow my energy to be manipulated by anyone or to allow anybody else's energy to come onto me. I also usually have some kind of jewelry that I'll wear, and you can buy the special gemstones. Trying to remember is it tourmaline? There's one for protection. There's a couple of them
tourmaline is one of them.
Yeah. So usually I will put something like that on as well, because again, I feel that that is setting an intention and I know that I've got this piece of jewelry on and that symbolizes protection for me. Other people also will, before they go to something, visualize themselves in a white light or visualize a shield around themselves or something like that. I don't do that because I don't want to shut myself off completely. You know, I want to be able to be myself, which is, you know, the highly sensitive person, the antenna, the kind of picking up on all of these things. I don't want to shut that down. But what I don't want is my energy to be manipulated in any way that is not good for me. And so that's usually what I'll say. Mm. Well, some other ways is once you come back from an event like that, you could do some kind of cleansing for yourself. An Epsom salt bath, for example, is a really good one to help you release any energy that you may have picked up and brought home with you.
When I first started learning about this, I actually did learn to originally and had to almost do that full shield, just the full shield. And then as I got, oh, this is what the full shield feels like. And then you're sort of able to turn down the volume or turn down the frequency, whatever, maybe the frequency's not right. You're able to turn back the shield a little bit.
Yeah.
But for me, I almost had to go overboard on the full-blown shield until and then just get more and more comfortable. Okay, I can lessen that up, lessen that up, lessen that up. And also one of the comments you had was about gemstones. I have a beautiful piece of jewelry that a dear, dear person in my life gave to me, and it has a lot of meaning for me. And so for me, it doesn't have to be a gemstone. I can just wear this particular piece of jewelry and feel that my intention is stronger and just more grounded when I have this particular piece of jewelry, even though there's not a gemstone on it. So it could be anything if you find great comfort in it.
Absolutely. And I think intention is the key to everything. It's the energy behind everything. So it's always, what is the intention? And it can be, you know, it could be a scarf. It could be anything. You know, the intention is that when I wear this, I feel empowered. I feel that I am in control of my energy.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking back to the days of Dynasty television show, all of that. I had this red power suit, had shoulder pads out to, you know, past your shoulders, the Dynasty look, you know. And my hair automatically does the Texas cheerleader look. So, boy, when I stepped out in that red wool power suit, my energy changed every time I put that red suit on. It's funny now that I think back at it and I look at the old pictures and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Well, that's what I say. We all have to find what works for us. And what works for me may not necessarily be something that works for somebody else. Somebody else might want to wear something red when they go out, you know, because that makes them feel they're in control of their energy. It gives them that feeling of empowerment. So whatever it is, you have to find the right thing and the right way for you. And it really depends on how, you know, some people are so empathic that they pick up on everything from everybody. So, you know, the more empathic you are, the more you'll need something that's strong. And you might need a full shield. Maybe you might.
Now, do you define empathic people different from highly sensitive people, or are they the same? Are those interchangeable, or do they have different traits?
That's a good question. I've never really thought about that. I find a lot of highly sensitive people are empathic and pick up on people's energy. So they are two traits that I associate with each other. But does that mean all highly sensitive people are empathic? Probably not. You know, and everybody's sensitivities are different. Just like I have, you know, and you have the superpower of smell. Many people, highly sensitive people, don't. So it may be that you could be highly sensitive and not empathic. Could you be empathic and not highly sensitive? I don't know, but I'm thinking probably they go together in that respect.
I'm thinking they go together in my experience with it, myself and with others that I know that fall into that category, that they do go together very closely. I don't think personally they don't be the same exact thing.
Right.
But I find them that they're very closely related.
Yeah, right.
Well, we need to take one final quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Linda more about her work and other things that we can do with our medical care. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And it's my pleasure to have Linda Binns here with us today. And we've been talking about highly sensitive people and their sensitive traits and how it relates to the outer, you know, the bigger world, but also how it relates to our medical care. Because I've found, just the science of Sharon, folks, but I have found that oftentimes people with autoimmune conditions also are very, very sensitive people. Maybe they're not going to rate themselves highly sensitive, but definitely on that scale I was talking about early, they do tend to sort of wave into the at least sensitive, if not highly sensitive, category. So let's talk a little bit more of what you've seen with people that work for them to continue to create the space where they feel comfortable, I'll say, within their own skin. Because a lot of times highly sensitive people don't feel comfortable within their own skin. So what are some other things that you've done that helped you become comfortable?
Simply paying attention. I can't say that enough.
I agree.
You got to pay attention to how you feel. And it's an interesting thing because one of the things I learned about myself is that I thought I had reached a point where I was calm and at peace. You know, I didn't feel stressed. I didn't feel overwhelmed. My mind was calm. You know, I had a lot of issues with sleep. I didn't sleep very well. And so that's one of the things they would always try to address with me about calming my mind down at night. And I'd say, my mind is not racing. I'm not thinking anything apart from the fact that, oh, I'm not going to sleep again tonight. Look at that. And you know, my mind was not going crazy. And so I thought that I was calm. But what I learned was my body wasn't. So I learned to kind of calm my mind and my emotions, but I would feel stress and anxiety in my body. And I hadn't, I thought because I felt calm in my mind that I naturally was in my body, and I learned that that wasn't the case. So my body became the indicator, the barometer for, okay, you think you're calm? You know, that tightness in your shoulders, that's telling you you're not, you know. So that was quite a revelation for me, because I, you know, mind, body, you know, they go together. So if one's calm and the other one is, right? No. So I think this, the more I've spoken to highly sensitive people, this is something I've observed as well, in that this is a common thing, that your body is telling you something. You're thinking one thing, but your body might be telling you something else. And so that, that was a big key to unlocking the mysteries for me.
Well, you know what's interesting? We had Dr. Joe Tata on. He's a pain specialist. And this just brought a correlation here for me in my own mind, was Dr. Joe was talking about sometimes as we grow older and experience different traumas, both physical, mental, emotional, spiritual traumas, we can lose place of where our body is. Our sort of our internal GPS kind of gets a little off kilter. And he walked us through a great little thing about, you could do it lying down or actually sitting up, but walking through in your mind, just like my toes, and you wiggle your toes, and where's my arches right now? And you wiggle your arches a little bit. Oh, tap my heels a little bit. And so I found that very relaxing as well. It wasn't just in my own mind finding and resetting that internal GPS of where I am in space, but somehow just kind of checking in with my toes, wiggling them a little bit. Okay, my toes are good. Okay, my arches are good. I found that really relaxing. So I'm thinking that if I'm thinking myself, oh, my mind's calm, what are they talking about? I don't need to calm down. Maybe doing that Dr. Joe Tata's little GPS check-in would be a great way to find out if my body is as calm as my mind or not.
Right. No, that's a great idea. One of the things I have come to recently, which I really like, is called Yoga Nidra. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, so it's basically a form of relaxation. So you lie down in relaxation pose, and you close your eyes, and I listen to this. It's almost like a meditation, but he takes you through a similar kind of thing where you're breathing into the different parts of your body. So you have you breathing from the top of your head down to the tip of your toes and back up. And then it's from your head to your ankles, and then from your head to your knees. And it, you know, just kind of comes up the body and then back down the body. And then you focus on specific parts of the body. And I have found, you know, I can think I'm calm. I start lying down and my mind is nice and calm, but my heart is going like this. And I think, oh, okay, so my body is not relaxed. But by the end of that, I am completely relaxed. And so that's another way for me. It's a way of, I think, giving my body the relaxation, the total relaxation it needs that I thought I was getting before, but I really wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's really true what we were saying about making sure, checking in with all the different parts of us, mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical, to make sure that they're all talking the same language, all moving in the same direction. And there again, that would be a great intention to set, is intention to check in and make sure that everything is in the grounded and going in the same direction that we want it to go in.
That's right.
I just came to mind how many times we feel like I'm just scattered, and that's when our energy, the different parts of our energy are just going multi-directional.
That's right.
And this ability, I love the breathing just down to certain parts and breathing up. I'll have to check into that. Can you tell us again the name of it? Yoga
Nidra. It's N-I-D-R-A. And you can, they have some videos on YouTube. I have it's a particular audio. So I have it on my phone and I just stick my headphones in and I just lie there and it takes me through the whole thing. And it's an hour, but it's a really, I feel really good. What they say is that as you're doing it, it takes your body into the frequency of really deep sleep. So that when you come out of it, your body has repaired, you know, has been able to repair and recover just like you would if you had a really, really deep sleep.
Oh, that is so good to know. So many people with autoimmune have sleep disruption, whether it's getting to sleep or staying asleep. So many people with autoimmune have sleep disruptions. That's a great one to know. Well, when you and I get together, time flies. We just have about 4 minutes left. I want to make sure that the audience knows how to get a hold of you, and also any last little tips on medical care in the highly sensitive person.
I would say last minute tips, less is usually more for highly sensitive people. We usually need a lot less of something than the majority of people. And the other thing I've become aware of is you might need this now, and it might be the right thing for your body, this supplement or whatever it is, but it might not be something you need long term. I mean, it might change after a week, or it might change after 3 days. So I find that for highly sensitive people, it's more likely to change or need to change more frequently. So if you're taking one capsule of this now, and after 3 days, you might need to cut it down to half. No, so it's going to change more frequently, I think, for highly sensitive people. So I think it's important to be aware of that. And for contacting me, the best way is through my website. It's just lindabins.com. You can go and find out more about me. You can contact me through there. It's the easiest way.
Fantastic. And spell your name, because I want everybody to know the right spelling.
Okay.
Because your last name's spelled rather uniquely.
Yeah. So it's Linda, LindaBins. lindabins.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Linda. It's been just my pleasure to have you back on, because I think this is a topic that's absolutely overlooked and oftentimes poo-pooed by a lot of people. So I'm glad we're able to give voice to it. Two highly sensitive people sharing things here that if you're out there resonating with it, know that you're in good company, right?
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.